Yo, 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 what's good, Mo? Welcome back to Disrupted. I'm your host, Cameron Lewis, and you know, this is the best sports show where we talk sports, hip-hop culture, and anything hot in the streets. I'm glad to be back. This is going to be a little bit of a longer session this week, you know, because Thanksgiving break is next week. Unfortunately, I will not be here due to personal reasons, but let's, you know, let the show go on, man. I'm going to hit y'all with some stuff this week. We got a lot of NBA, a lot of NFL. We got, you know, some fun facts. You know, we got to tap into our picks for the week, you know. And we got a couple big stories this week that we could talk about. So, you know, without further ado, let's go ahead and jump right into it. Fun fact of the week. All right. Luka Doncic, one of the youngest players in the NBA, but nonetheless one of the best, you know, best players in the NBA, if you ask me. You know, he joined LeBron James as the only two players in NBA history to drop 40-point triple-doubles before the age of 21. Obviously, LeBron was the youngest player to do it. But Luka had 42 points, career high for him. And he also had 11 boards and 12 dimes. So, shout out to Luka Doncic, you know, having an excellent season. He should probably be an MVP candidate right now. You know, the Mavericks are doing pretty well, but the way Luka is playing, it's almost like, you know, he hasn't just got his. Almost like he's been here for, you know, years and years. But, you know, shout out to Luka Doncic for, you know, just yet another achievement in his so young career. The man isn't even 20 years old yet. So, you know, shout out to Luka. He might be 20. I'm not sure, but he's definitely not 21 yet, which is very alarming considering how well he is playing. But, you know, shout out to Luka, man, you know, breaking so many milestones. I hope he can keep going, and he'll for sure be an all-star this year, no doubt about it. Let's go ahead and jump into our topics for the week, man. You know, we got a couple topics, today, but the first thing I wanted to talk about was Colin Kaepernick's workout. Now, yeah, there was a little bit of negativity and stuff going on, you know, the anti-Cap supporters and stuff like that. The NFL said he didn't show up to the workout. I think it was at the Atlanta Falcons practice facility. He didn't show up. Instead, showed up to a high school because he wanted everybody to see his workout. He wanted his own receivers and stuff like that. Some people felt like he was trying to turn it into a publicity stunt and whatnot. Honestly, I just felt like he did. I felt like he did a great job. At the workout, I felt like he played very well, performed very well. He had a lot of little, you know, deep passes. His rollouts were great. I think it was an overall great performance. If you ask me, I don't think it was a publicity stunt as much. I just felt like this is a man who's been denied 3 years into the NFL when he's obviously in shape. And you cannot convince me otherwise that a lot of backups who are in the NFL right now are better than him. I just don't agree with that. I think he should have been playing a long time ago. And, you know, the person that I feel like is more involved in this story, if anything, is Stephen A. Smith, because he went back and forth with Carolina Panthers safety Eric Reed about, you know, how he felt about the situation. Eric felt like, you know, Stephen A. is like a sellout because, you know, he is an employee of ESPN. And, you know, they have been biased in the past towards the company and against others, you know. So, it's a lot going on, you know, amongst that situation, even with Jay-Z saying that, you know, a report coming out saying that he's possibly disappointed in the way Kaepernick handled, you know, the entire situation. But, you know, nonetheless, I think he had a good performance, and I think that he shall be getting some phone calls or possible workouts and whatnot. You know, he does still look in shape, and I think that he needs a chance. He deserves a chance, you know. Can't forget that he didn't go to the Super Bowl, but it's worth mentioning that this man got blackballed for believing in something that was absolutely 110% true, and I think that's something worth mentioning. Like, we know there's stuff going on in the community between police officers and unarmed black men and women, and for you to point that out is just testimony to what type of person you are. But at the same time, like, you know, it's not like he's not telling the truth. The man is telling the truth. So he should have, you know, received the benefit of the doubt from then on. And, you know, at this point, he should be playing. like he should be playing. I'm not going to dwell too much on it. I hope he does get some phone calls in the next coming days, and I hope a lot of the animosity built around this situation can kind of cool off, get everybody back on a positive track, and make sure that, you know, life goes on. You know, he hopefully gets a chance. If he doesn't, he'll still be a great advocate to the minority community and whatnot. A bit of NBA news. Carmelo Anthony, man, you know. Now, Carmelo Anthony is somebody I've been a very big supporter of. I felt like he was, you know, this opportunity was long coming. Now, I definitely felt like he should have at least been on the Lakers. They've been big advocates of getting, like, not young players, but, you know, veterans. Look at the team now. I mean, straight veterans. Like, the entire team is pretty much veterans. So, championship caliber guys. And I felt like Melo used to play at a level where he could obviously, you know, bring a championship to the roster of any team he was on. Most recently, the Knicks, because I think that was the most prepared team that was built for a championship. But I feel like, to me, him getting this opportunity with the Blazers is great for more than one reason. One, I feel like Carmelo Anthony has worked his way up to this moment. Number one, the Blazers need him. And I'm going to tell you why. The Blazers have lost a couple people. They lost Evan Turner. They lost Mo Harkless. You need somebody that's going to spread the floor and kind of get in the gritty and grind, you know, the gritty and grind of what's going on. So, you can watch Carmelo Anthony work and what he does. It's not like the man can't play. I tell people all the time, Jared Dudley over Melo. That's something I would never agree with. Jared Dudley is not better than Carmelo Anthony on any level. So, Carmelo Anthony getting this opportunity is just going to prove what they need. And the Blazers are 5-9 right now anyway. They need some type of help. You know, I can't say it's the center position because, you know, they did lose Nurkic, but they do have Hassan Whiteside. So, I can't all the way say it's that. I haven't watched enough Blazer games to really tell you how bad the team is playing and what the real reason for it is why. But when you're losing, you need help. I can tell you why other teams are losing. It's help. You need help. Like the Warriors, they need help. They don't have Curry. They don't have Klay. They don't have D'Lo Russell, who's out with a knee or ankle, whichever one it may be. Apologize for me not knowing, but they need help. The Pelicans do not have Zion Williamson. They need help. The Wizards do not have John Wall. They need help. So, Melo getting this opportunity is gonna bode well for him. He will be making his debut on Thursday against the New Orleans Pelicans, and he will be wearing 00, unique for him. And man, I am glad that he did get another opportunity to show his talents and possibly, you know, be the changing factor to this team getting the season back on track. Cause it's not over, you know. They're 5-9, yes. They are 13th in the West, yes. But you know, there is still a big chance and an opportunity that this team can, you know, get this thing back on track and possibly turn this thing around and get to playing like the Blazers we know. Because we're always used to them being in the top 5 or 6, you know, not even top 8, like, you know, barely making the playoffs. This is a team that's usually in that 4 range, that 3-2, you know. So, congratulations to Carmelo Anthony. And I hope he can ball out, man. Well, I know he gonna ball out. We gonna see, though. Other NBA news. James Harden has been on a tear with a bunch of 40-point games. And it's reports going that he's on pace to average 40 points a game, I think, this year. I think that'll be the most ever. And Jalen Rose said he think Harden would have a 90-point game this year. 90 points, which would be second all time, just to let you know. I think it's very possible. Not the 90-point thing, but him averaging 40 points a game, I think that's very possible. And I tell you why. this team has lost a lot in ways and has gained a lot in ways. And then I'm going to elaborate a bit. Trevor Reza, you lost him. Ryan Anderson's not there anymore. Eric Gordon is hurt a lot. It's pieces have left and gone and came and gone. And that is testimony to how the Rockets have been playing. This ISO ball thing that you see is because they've gotten comfortable with having just anybody around Harden. You know? Like, give him the ball and let him do whatever. You could at that the way you're playing, you can have anybody around him. And it'll work. But I feel like some of his individualism play may not be championship caliber because it's just him contributing a lot of the times. But him, his, like, the way he scores and how he goes about it, it is very outstanding and very astonishing, if I may add. 40 points a game, that's insane. You know, that's insane for one man to average. We've seen 30 points. We've seen a bunch of 20 points. We even seen Kobe, I think, or T-Mac, one of those guys, average 35 a game. I think Iverson came close to averaging 36 a game, something like that. So we've seen it, but 40 points? Imagine somebody really scoring 40 points a night. A night. He'll crack 2,000 points this year easy, you know? And I think he'll get more efficient down the road. He had a couple of games where he did shoot bad. But, you know, well, like I said before, this is the start of the NBA season. I think as time goes on, he will become more efficient and he'll start making a lot of those, you know, threes he is missing. I think he's shooting close to 23s a game. So, yeah, I think Harden could do it. James, you know, you in Houston, man, go ahead and do your thing. I think you can do it, man. 40 points a game. And they're winning, so you can't complain. You know, and I know people say, oh, Russell numbers are dipping. It may be dipping a little bit, but I'm sure he's more concerned with winning than he is with stats, as much as people may think. Yeah, he did, you know, has a lot of triple-doubles, but the man is more concerned with winning than he is with stats. You know, whether, you know, people believe it or not. But I don't think he will be as competitive as he was if it wasn't about winning for him. So, shout out Harden, man. I hope you do your thing. Next topic. I'm a bit more concerned about this one. And the topic is about Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph. Now, we all saw what happened last Thursday, you know. We all are concerned about what happened Thursday. Probably the first time a lot of us ever seen anything like that, you know. Here's what I think about the situation, okay? Where the fault line lies, for me, is who did it and why they did it and what consequences did they have for what they did. I do not agree with people starting stuff and not getting what they deserve. Maybe what they did deserve can be harsh at times, and sometimes it is really harsh what they do get at times. You do think back and say, okay, they didn't deserve all of that. But you can't feel too much sympathy for somebody starting something and just not being able to finish it. Now, he had a horrible night. You know, he really had a horrible night. You could pretty much say he lost that game for that team. Myles Garrett didn't have a good night either. The only thing, he only had like one tackle and maybe a couple quarterback hits. He was getting hemmed up too. He didn't have the night he wanted anyway, you know. So, you know, what happened. Mason, you know, they fell to the ground. First of all, people say the hit was so unnecessary. If it was unnecessary, it sure, you know, wasn't malicious. Myles Garrett pulled him down. His momentum pulled him down to the ground. So people saying he could have let go, that was very unlikely, okay? His momentum pulled him down. If you watch the play, Myles' body was twisting and turning, you know? He wasn't standing on 2 feet strong. He was kind of leaning over. Not only did you fall down to the ground kind of like soft, but, you know, Mason fell on top of him, and nothing was malicious about it. Mason started to get mad, I think, because they were losing, and he tried to twist Myles Garrett's neck and, like, rip his helmet off his head, you know, with the chest strap on, obviously. So, Mason, upon failing, Myles returned the favor. You want to take my helmet off? I'm going to take yours off. And I did it. You know, I took the helmet off, ripped it off. You know, I had it in my hand. And now I'm getting restrained by two of your teammates, you know, and I don't have anybody else around me, you know. That's where we lie at right now. Not only did you lose by having your helmet ripped off, you know, viciously, but you could have just left it there. You could have left it alone, let the refs handle it, you know. And he didn't do that. He pursued Miles, you know, he ran after him. And, you know, he might have been saying something to him or saying something bad to him. But I think Miles was already pissed off at that moment, so he wasn't thinking as clear, and he hit him in the head with the helmet. My problem is you pursue this man without your helmet, knowing that he just ripped yours off as if you're presenting some type of threat to him. And then when you get hit in the head with the helmet, which your first thing is to just turn around and look at the ref. That's what he did on that play. He got hit, and as soon as he got hit, he turned around and looked straight at the referee. Me? I'm not doing that. Like, in a fight, there is no, like, turning around trying to realize what just happened to you. You're fighting now. At that point, there's, like, you're trying to beat the other person up, you know? That right there was, you know, I'm not sure how people felt the way they did, but we all are opinionated. We all have our different reasons for why we feel what we do. So I can't get mad at anybody else's opinion. But that's just my opinion, you know? Don't go for somebody bigger than you. Then when you lost already, you still want to come at them to try to prove something to somebody. I don't understand that. And then when you got, you know, lost again, and then, you know, you want to look crazy. And, you know, I just don't understand that. To me, that whole situation could have been avoided if Mason had just took the hit and left it right there. Next topic we're going to talk about, Mitchell Trubisky got benched. For Chase Daniel on Sunday when he lost to the Rams. Now, don't get me wrong, the Bears are having a horrible season. This is very, very underachieving, if I may add, compared to what they did last year, where around this time of the year, they were virtually dominant, you know? They were virtually dominant, beating teams up crazy, you know? Khalil Mack only has, what, 5 sacks? Very underachieving for him. The team hasn't looked good at all. Trubisky's, like, the claim from the head coach was that he got benched because he had an injury. I don't think anybody believes that. You know, he was playing bad. They did lose 17-7, so that was nonetheless a tough loss. But it's, like, flat out saying that, you know, he got benched because he was hurt. I mean, I don't think anybody would have believed that. So, but where the Bears go from here has yet to be determined, but I truly believe it's going to be some big changes to come. We already been hearing the rumors about Cam Newton being traded to the Bears and stuff like that. So this is something to keep your eye on, you know. The way Carolina's been playing, I do not see them keeping Cam. So this is something to keep your eyes on and kind of like watch out for, because in the past we've seen a lot of rumors become true in the NFL, especially recently, you know, with Ramsey going to the Rams and, you know, things like that. It's worth noting that some of these things do come true. And with the whole relationship being the way it is in Carolina, I don't see Cam staying. And Trubisky's only real option at this point is to play. You gotta play, man. If you don't play, you gotta know that they're gonna try to replace you, man. They're gonna try to go out there and find somebody. We done seen it happen before plenty of times, you know. I think he just needs to go out there and play to the best of his abilities and keep his job, man, because his job's up here on the line, especially at the quarterback position. You know, look at Miami. You know, Rosen got the starting job, and what happened? Couple bad games, and look where he at, on the bench, just like Arizona. So, hopefully Trubisky can get it back on track. And you have to be determined, but hopefully. Next topic is, it's a question, but I'm going to answer it. Are the Warriors tanking? Now, they're 2-12 right now. They have the worst record in the NBA by far. There's a lot of negativity facing this team. One, they don't have Klay. He was out with a torn ACL, we all know. Two, Durant is not there to save you. He's gone. Okay. Three, did have Curry, but Curry broke his hand and he's projected to be out at least to the spring. But the team is saying the entire year. Four, D'Lo Russell goes down. He's out for an extended amount of weeks. So now you're stuck with Draymond Green, you know. And they're losing bad. They're not even losing, you know, good losses. These are bad losses a lot of the time. So where I stand at is, are they tanking? I think so. I think so. You know, like, it is ironic how Curry is now out for the whole year with a broken hand. A broken hand, I've had a broken hand before. That's a 6-week type of recovery. And it's on his non-shooting hand, I think. I don't think he should be out an entire year. And then D'Lo Russell goes down. Like, it just seems like a lot of different things are going on at too many times in this organization. And I do think that they are tanking. But if they are tanking, what a brilliant idea. I mean, tank. You would probably get a top 5 pick. Not only would you get a top 5 pick, you'll get Klay and Curry returning healthy next year with a top 5 pick. Plus, you still got Draymond, I mean. And then if you want to, you can either keep D'Lo and add to the firepower you'll probably have, or you can let him go, you know, and get something in return for him. Maybe, you know, a couple big man or whatever. So, me, if you ask me, I think that they are tanking. But obviously tanking for a team like this would be bad in you know, a lot of people's eyes. But if they truly are tanking, that, to me, that's brilliant. I mean, you're going to get the Splash Brothers back with a top 5 pick? Plus, you still got Draymond on the contract? This would be a scary team if they do end up getting, you know, that high of a pick. Because I do doubt they will turn it around. I mean, 2-12 already, that's, you'll have to play just outstanding to even have a chance to, you know, redeem that record. Next topic is something I thought about, you know, I thought about a lot. Are Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota done? Now, Jameis obviously leads the league in interceptions, which is something we're very accustomed to. He's been very high on interceptions. A lot of interceptions aren't his fault, but come on, the man definitely throws a lot of interceptions. And, you know, Bruce Arians has tried his best to try to keep up with Jameis and try to encourage him to play better, right? And Mariota, I mean, you got benched in Tennessee for Ryan Tannehill, who got traded because he was about to be benched. He's the number one and number two quarterbacks a couple years ago, so it just feels like everything is coming to an end with those two guys. At the most, they'll probably be backups in the future, maybe out the league all the way. Is, you know, that has just to be determined. But I do think I think they're done, man. I mean, they did give us a couple exciting years and stuff. Especially Mariota, he has a playoff win. If you ask me, Mariota has the better chance to be a starter somewhere else, because he does have a playoff win under his belt, and that's something you can't argue. Not only was it a playoff win, it was a comeback win. So, you know, that's something worth mentioning. With Jameis, it's hard to even really argue for him, because he turns the ball over so much. He's never been that, you know, he's never been that great of an established leader. So if he is, if his time is running out, it's definitely in, it's definitely close to the, you know, it's definitely close in the future. He might be out the league all the way, or he might just be a backup. Maybe even, you know, a third stringer, you know. And I don't even want to put that kind of thought into the air, because I like Jameis Winston. I feel like he's a good quarterback. But he turns the ball over too much to really kind of make an argument for him, you know. Like, it's just like the thing, the Johnny Manziel thing. All the other stuff I couldn't really argue for, you know, like him doing good on the field and stuff like that. I'm glad to see it because, you know, I'm defending him. But at the same time, with the, you know, the drinking and the, you know, the not coming to the quarterback meetings, the doing drugs, I can't argue for that. And Jameis' play on the field is a testimony to what people feel about him. And why they think, you know, Bruce Arians might make that change sooner rather than later. So, if you ask me, it's coming, but it's something that I feel like we got to prepare for. So, hopefully those two guys can get another gig, because I know it's coming. I know it's coming. They're not going to be on those teams for too long, if not even for the next year. So, And last two topics we could bust out before our NFL thing. Blazers are struggling. They're 5-9, 13th in the West. I'm going to get this one out quick. They're turning around. Like I said before, they got Melo. I gave reasons for why I think Melo will turn it around. And it's just a slow start. It's not like everybody else in the West is playing that great either, because you have every other team in the West, and then you have the Lakers. Like, the Lakers are on their own level, and then you have everybody else, and then you have the teams that are struggling. So they're turning around. And Draymond Green at the point guard position, he's shown to be somewhat of a good facilitator. He showed that again in the Western Conference Finals. He showed that all regular season the last couple of years. So if you ask me, I think it will be beneficial, but at the same time, they don't have a lot of other assets to really compete. So him being at the point guard position is not going to really benefit the team as much, because now there's some type of liability somewhere else on the court. You know, he is a power forward. So I'm just guessing if he's playing point guard, whoever else is playing power forward is not better than him. So now you have like a liability, you know. There's definitely going to be a liability, and you could expect this team to, like I said before, tank and, you know, lose a lot more games. But it will be interesting to see him playing point guard this season for the Golden State Warriors. And now we crack into our predictions for this week, week 12 in the NFL. We're almost done. Now, last week, I had very good games. I only had 3 losses last week. So I did much better than I had the week before. My record right now is 20-24. So right now, I mean, you know, I lie in the area where I think that I can finally turn my record around and get this thing back on track. And I got some good guesses this week. So Colts and Texans, this is Thursday night football game. I'm taking Houston. Houston is at home. I think they're pissed off about losing to Baltimore. I think they recover. Lions and Redskins. I love my Skins, but I can't go with my Skins. I got to go with the Lions. Giants and Bears. I don't like the way the Bears been playing. The Giants had a great game against Dallas. I'll take the Giants on the road. Seahawks and Eagles. I'm taking Seattle on the road. Dolphins and Browns. I'm definitely taking Cleveland at home. Raiders and Jets. Definitely taking John Gruden and the Raiders. Panthers and Saints. Okay, I expected it to be a good game, but I'm going with the Saints. Bucks and Falcons. Falcons on a 2-game win streak. I think they keep it going. Broncos and Bills. I think the Bills keep this thing rolling. Steelers and Bengals. I don't see the Steelers losing that game. Jaguars and Titans. I have. I'm going to take the Jags on the road. I'm going to take the Jags on the road. Cowboys and Patriots. This is a hard one. But I think I'll take New England. Take New England. Packers and 49ers, Sunday Night Football. I like the Niners. You know, I like the Niners at home. They play good at Levi Stadium. And then the Ravens and the Rams on Monday Night Football, you already know who I got. Baltimore. Yep. You know, I do thank you guys for tuning in, but I can't go anywhere. I told you, man, I'm not going to be here next week for the Thanksgiving break. So, we got to do our Thanksgiving games, too, in the NFL. I got to give you my prediction on those games. And the games are going to be the Bears and the Lions. The Bills and the Cowboys. And the Saints and the Falcons. My prediction should be pretty clear. I got the Lions. I got the Bills. And I have Falcons at home on Sunday Night Football against the Saints. I'm taking the Falcons. Upset. Like I said, I thank you all for tuning in. Much love to everybody for supporting me along this journey I'm taking. I love doing this, you know, providing you guys with great content and week in and week out. I do hope to get my co-host back. You know, he's dealing with some things, but we're going, you know, we're going to hold it down for him, and we're going to keep it, you know, we're going to keep it 100. Like I said, thank you guys for tuning in. I love you, man. Peace.